good morning, everybody.
Welcome to the altar. We're so honored to have you with us today. Today, we're going to be kicking off our second message in our spring cleaning series. If you missed last week, Danielle kicked off the series with an awesome message that was geared around taking out the trash. And if you missed it, I would encourage you to stop by our website or subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to all of our messages if you miss them, or if you really like them and you want to listen to them again, we always have those available for you to do that. But I just want to take a second and recap Danielle's message, because mine kind of ties directly into where she left off. So last week, Danielle talked about how we need to stop trying to hide the junk that we tend to want to pack away in our spiritual closets or our spiritual junk drawers, so to speak, and that we need to let God deal with those things so we can be clean and we can be made new. How can we go about looking at the things that we have in our lives that are not pleasing to God and getting rid of those things so that God is able to do an even greater work in us than anything that we've ever experienced? So again, we're in our second week of spring cleaning, and it finally started to look a little bit more like spring outside this week. But I would have enjoyed maybe a few weeks of, you know, maybe mid-70s weather, high 60s. We went right from second winter into summer preview. We had 2 days in a row in the 80s, which, don't get me wrong, it's better than bitter cold, but it's a little bit warm to start off. I would have liked to, you know, had it ramped up a little bit better than that. And of course, I've been paying extra close attention to the temperature the last couple of days, because as usual, anyone who knows me, the air conditioner in my house, even though it was brand new, has been an issue almost every single year I've lived there, which is about 8 years now. So I'm thankful that today is actually a little bit cooler, because the house isn't quite as warm, and we're supposed to be getting it fixed tomorrow, but I'll believe it when I see it, because it's been fixed already about 8 times. So we'll see how that goes. So last week, Danielle shared this image, and I wanted us to take another look at this before we head into the message that I have for you guys today. And for those of you taking notes, the title for today's message is Spiritual Gardening. And I think this is just a perfect image to compare what it looks like when we're living by the Spirit and when we're not. Now, it's true that both spiritually and physically as well, this is what it looks like. As a matter of fact, I find that very few things, if any, happen in the spiritual without having an impact in the physical world. In the same way that our emotions and our feelings can dictate how we feel in our bodies and in our minds, so too can our spiritual health impact us in the same ways. So once we start identifying what trash we need to take out of our lives and experience that incredible feeling of God doing a new thing in us, or to keep with the spring theme, sprouting new spiritual growth in us, what do we do next? What do we do next? How do we keep our spirit thriving once we've experienced that breakthrough? How do we do that? The first point today, for those of you taking notes, is that we need to give our spirit water. Now, I know that might sound strange, but the Bible has many, many scriptures, as we read through, that mention water. And there's actually a few different things that the Bible used as a representation of water. So there's different scriptures, and the term water might mean actually a few different things. And just as a side note, I find it interesting that water is mentioned as soon as the second verse in the Bible. If you open your Bible up, I don't have it for you on the screen. If you want to read it later, it should be easy to find. It's the first page. The Bible starts by saying, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And I like to sometimes just think about the magnitude of that one little sentence. In the beginning, God created everything, and he just created everything. And then we're going to go on from that. But the earth, as we know, was not finished in that first step. And it goes on to say, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So when God went about creating earth, water was the foundation that everything came from. I think they say that our bodies are made up of over 60% water. So I just found that was a little interesting side note as we get into today's message. But the one representation for water in the Bible that I want to focus on for my first point today is that when we see water in the Bible, it can be a representation of the Word of God. Or in other words, the contents that are in your Bible. So you provide water for your spirit by reading the Word of God and letting the truths that are revealed through it renew your spirit. The fact of the matter is, just as our bodies need a steady intake of water to survive, our spirit works the same way. And we can see an example of water being used as a representation of God's word in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 27. And I have this on the screen for you. It reads, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present herself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless." And I just love the imagery that we get there. But we see that this text is telling us that the church, the bride of Christ, is cleansed by the water through the word. So this is an exact representation of what we're talking about. Another example that I have for you guys today is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. It reads, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So again, we see that water is used to cleanse. So again, like we understand the importance of giving our bodies water consistently, we need to also be doing this for our spirit. It's just as important. Researchers say that the maximum amount of time that a person can live without water might be a week. It might be a week, but most researchers agree that that figure's probably overstated a bit, and that under most normal circumstances, a person would only survive 3 to 4 days without water. And I would say that we should use that same principle when it comes to reading the Word of God. If you're only getting water for your spirit once a week, your spirit is simply not getting enough water to survive. It's just not. So we need to get into the routine and establish a foundation of daily seeking God and reading His Word. And once we start getting into the routine of that and making it a part of our lives, our spirit will begin to flourish. And once we start doing that on a continual basis, what's the next step? What do we then do to make sure that we can continue progressing, continue moving forward? The second point I have for you guys today is that we need to develop strong spiritual roots. Now, I just want to say, I know this is kind of a garden theme message. I'm horrible at gardening, okay? I remember one year, a few years back, Chris and I were like, you know, springtime rolled around, and we're like, you know what would make the outside of the house look great? We're going to go, and we're going to get all these fancy, nice flowers and nice potters, and it's going to look all great and everything. Well, those flowers looked really good for like 2 weeks, and then they started looking not so great. So luckily for you guys, I didn't use my own gardening expertise. I looked some of this stuff up so I don't steer you in the wrong direction. But one of the tips for developing strong roots when you plant something is to make sure that when you water something, you water it deeply. If you consistently water plants lightly, the roots tend to stay closer to the surface of the soil in order to absorb the water that they are getting. And this, of course, leads to weaker roots. And those weaker roots only serve half of their true purpose, because roots actually have two functions. The first function of roots is to absorb nutrients and water for the plant and allow that to grow. But the other function of roots, which is just as important, is to act as an anchor for the plant to keep it in its position. If a plant has shallow roots, it cannot withstand much of any outside force without being compromised. And it's the same way for us spiritually. Developing Strong spiritual roots is absolutely a must for us if we are going to make it through this thing called life. One passage I wanted to share with you on this subject is Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. It reads, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." So this is what it looks like when you have a strong root system. You're not swayed by the things that happen in life because you're planted deeply in your faith. Another passage I wanted to share was Jesus' parable of the sower that can be found in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 20. It says this, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that are sown on the good soil, in other words, after we've taken out the trash, that's another callback to last week's message. The ones sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now, there is a whole lot in this parable that I just shared with you guys. There's a lot to kind of digest and break down, but basically Jesus is saying that people are going to fall into three categories. You're going to have people that hear the word and resent the word. You're going to have people that hear the word, accept the word, but ultimately because their soil, their foundation wasn't ready, they don't take root. And then you have the third category, people who hear the word, accept the word, and when that seed is sown into good soil, they bear fruit. We want to be the latter. Jesus wants us to be the latter. And this passage really drives home the importance of not only establishing strong roots, but also about what Danielle shared again. We must make sure that we take care of the trash that could be affecting our soil. Jesus is warning us what is going to happen if we try to plant a seed in soil that's not good. It will not establish strong roots, and it will not last. So the next question is, after we establish strong roots, after we've made our soil good and we start establishing strong roots, well, what then? What's next? And I have a confession to make. I have not yet read the Bible from cover to cover in its entirety. I certainly need to make that a priority in my life, but you might be thinking, well, if the Word of God is our water source for our spirit, once we've read it, will we run out of water? And the amazing thing about the Bible, and I talk about this all the time, is that it truly is the living Word of God. You can read the same scripture multiple times at different points, and God can reveal something new to you every single time you read it. Maybe not if you read the same scripture literally in succession back to back, but you know, if you read it one time and then maybe a couple months later you come back and you revisit a passage of scripture, God can reveal something new to you. It's his living word. So that is an infinite water source. But let's pretend for a moment that the Bible was a finite source of spiritual water. Well, I have some good news for you, because if you read that Bible, it points us in the direction of where our unlimited source of water is. and how we access it. And this is going to be my final point for today's message, is that Jesus is the unlimited source of living water. So we talked about earlier that water is a representation of God's word. In addition to water representing the word of God, it also represents salvation and eternal life. We see this in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. It reads, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Well, what is the well of salvation? How do we find it? Where is it at? I want to read to you in John chapter 4, verses 9 through 14, Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman says to Jesus, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And in parentheses, it gives us a little backstory, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. But as we know, anyone who has studied Jesus for any length of time knows that Jesus specializes in talking to people that society tells him he wasn't supposed to, because none of that stuff has any value, right? We're supposed to treat everyone the same. So this interaction shouldn't even be taking place, but yet Jesus is saying, "Hey, I have something to tell this woman." So we continue to read, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So again, as I was, you know, doing my preparation, I kind of read that sentence, that statement from Jesus, and I was like, wow, that's actually pretty bold. Like, if you actually sit and let some of the things you read marinate, and it's like, you know, this woman is obviously doesn't know who Jesus is. She's confused because, you know, he's not even supposed to be talking to her, and yet he's asking her about a drink, and he's like, basically, if you knew who I was, which obviously you don't know who I am, you wouldn't be asking me the question you're asking me. But we are going to proceed. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." So still, she thinks they're literally talking about the well. She hasn't caught up yet. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So now we've established that Jesus is the source of living water, or salvation and eternal life. And he died so that he could provide that to all of us. But it's actually a little bit more complex than that. It's a little bit more layered than that. We read in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, it reads, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink.'" So right now it sounds a lot like his interaction with the Samaritan woman. "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." But then it goes on to tell us, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." Because up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So it's twofold. It's twofold. It's not just eternal life. It's also the Spirit. And in this passage, we see Jesus is talking about, again, more than salvation. He's saying that whoever believes in him is not only going to receive salvation, but they would later be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's important to understand, as the scripture tells us, that the Spirit at this time had not yet been bestowed upon the world. So when Jesus is having this conversation with the people, it's not like they received the Spirit right then. This was something that they received after the day of Pentecost, when Jesus ascended into heaven and then God released the Holy Spirit down to earth. So we have to understand that Jesus is the source of living water, both in offering us salvation and providing us access to the Holy Spirit. So it's really easy, because all signs point to Jesus, right? It's like, find Jesus and you guys are set. God made it really simple, because he knows, I'm speaking for myself, I'm stupid, okay? Don't make it complicated. Don't complicate it. I need it easy, and God made it really easy. Find Jesus, and you will have everything you need. And once we have the Holy Spirit within us, Jesus tells us that our spirit will have rivers of flowing water within them. And I just love that imagery. I think back to the scripture in Jeremiah that I shared. Then we will be like that tree that's being described in Jeremiah that's rooted next to a river, unbothered by the changes that's going on around it, because its source of renewal and its source of nourishment is constant and it's always bearing fruit. This is what God wants all of us to look like. This is what he envisioned when he set about sending his son to die for us. This is the picture of what that looks like. And as I get ready to close, I just want to tell you today that I have more good news for you. This is not only what God wants for us, it's what he has for us. See, not only does he want that for us, he already paid for it. For you and I to have it in advance, he paid in advance for us to have it, and he made a way for us to receive it. And that's the other important step, because you know, sometimes you might find this great deal. I know sometimes, you know, I get sucked down the rabbit hole on eBay or Facebook Marketplace, and you're like, oh, that's a really great deal. But it's like, oh, we're going to give it to you at this great price, but you have to come pick it up. And it's like, well, I don't have a way to get there. God took care of that for us. He's like, hey, I already paid for it in advance, and I'm going to drop it off to you. You don't have to go anywhere. So he wants it for us, paid for it in advance, and made a way for us to receive it. Then, through God's divine sovereignty, gave us the instructions on how to go about receiving it through his written word. He didn't keep it a secret. It's not that we have to find this out on our own. And I'm just so thankful that God did that for you and for me. The fact is, without God's insight, we would have no idea how to go about finding fulfillment, real fulfillment. Being in a spiritual drought, so to speak, is not something that we would know how to or be able to fix on our own. Our spiritual issues, as I mentioned earlier, almost always manifest themselves in other ways. So it can be really hard to pinpoint what is the issue because I have all these other things that are popping up. What is the cause? Without God telling us, we would not know. The fact is, there is no substitute for a soul that is thirsting for the presence of its creator. There's no substitute for that. So many people who either don't know God or are far away from God try to substitute his presence for other things, and they wind up finding out that those wells always run dry. Jeremiah 2:13 says this, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water." Again, Jesus is saying, I am the spring of living water. "They have forsaken me and have dug their own cisterns," meaning, hey, they thought they could do this without me. Maybe they experienced a little bit and got that feeling, and they're like, hey, we can do this on our own, Jesus. We see what you did here. We're going to go and do that. But they're broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Jesus is the only source of living water. And it's in my experience that I say feeling incomplete and thirsting for something more in life, it's something that you can't really describe. It's something that you can't really put your finger on. It's something that you just know is there. And that's the reason why people look for all manner of things to try to fill that void, because it's something that you can't even explain or understand, let alone know what the solution is to it. It's something that you can't explain or something that you don't fully understand. You just simply know that once you've had a real encounter with your creator and you've accepted salvation and your spirit can drink from the source of living water, Jesus Christ, that's what was missing. It's something that you just know once you've experienced it. You can't know ahead of time. You just know after you've experienced it, and that's what God wants for all of us. He wants that for you. He wants that for everyone that you know, the person farthest from God that you know. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. That's the way that it's always been meant to be. So if you guys could, I'm going to get ready to pray and close, I would just ask that after we close, if anybody wants prayer today, if you feel like I was talking to you today, I don't want you to leave this place without getting prayer from God, without getting water for your spirit today. So I would ask that as we after we close, that the elders would come up for anybody who wants prayer. So if you guys could just bow your heads and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, first and foremost, we thank you for this day that you have made. I thank you for each and every person here. God, I pray that as they go, that God, that you would bless them, that they would continue to think upon the things that you've shared today. God, that they would seek your face. God, that they would thirst for the spiritual water that only you can provide this week. God, I pray for any miracles, Lord, anything that they need, whether it be financial, spiritual, God, anybody who has a relationship that needs mending, God, I pray for those things, God, because you are able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could hope or ask. So, God, I trust you with those things. And, God, as we close, I just want to say we love you, God. If there's anyone here, God, that needs a touch from you, God, I just pray that you would minister to their heart, God, to have them come up for prayer before they leave today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.